It's The Takeaway. I'm Arun Vanigopal in for Tanzina Vega. If you're a moviegoer looking to see Robert De Niro act in the prime of his career, you can certainly revisit one of his films from the 70s.
You talking to me? You talking to me? Then who the hell else are you talking to? Talking to me?
And if you want to see Will Smith at the beginning of his career, there's no shortage of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reruns to choose from.
I got in one little fight and my mom got scared and said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel-Air.
But with two big new films this fall, you can find both actors looking a bit more youthful. In this month's Gemini Man, directed by Ang Lee, Smith goes head-to-head in fight scenes with a digitally reconstructed 23-year-old version of himself. And next month, in Martin Scorsese's The Irishman, De Niro plays hitman Frank Sheeran across multiple decades, from his 20s to his 80s. The digital process of de-aging actors has become more convincing in recent years, but it still carries a hefty price tag. Gemini Man and The Irishman both cost well over $100 million. And whether films like these connect with audiences could determine if de-aging is actually the way of the future or just a trend. Bilge Ibiri has reported on the changing landscape of special effects in Hollywood. He's a film critic and editor for New York Magazine and Vulture. And I spoke with him about how de-aging is used in these two new movies.
Both of these projects have been in the works for a long time. And it seems like the filmmakers have, in some senses, been waiting for the technology to catch up to what they've been trying to do. In the case of The Irishman, it's a mob saga about an aging hitman looking back on his life. And the aging hitman is played by Robert De Niro, and the younger version of the character is also played by Robert De Niro. And I think it takes place in about five different time periods. And around him are other actors like Joe Pesci and Al Pacino, who are also playing, you know, themselves at various ages. And the film is kind of a memory play. And in that sense, it's fascinating to watch these actors be digitally de-aged, because it's not always convincing. When you watch Robert De Niro playing a 40-something Robert De Niro in The Irishman, it looks a little odd, in part because we remember 40-something Robert De Niro,
yeah,
and he doesn't really look and move like the guy we remember from those other films. You know, he was always a very physical actor. Now he's in his mid-70s. He's not quite as physical. But The Irishman does actually use him in a very interesting way, because when we see him as a younger person, he kind of feels still like an older person whose face is a little smoother. And it might be a flaw in the film, but it actually works really well, because if you think about the way memory works, you know, when we look back on our lives, we don't really imagine the real younger versions of ourselves. We sort of imagine a younger version of the person we are now.
And this is the first time you're encountering this technology, am I right?
This specific iteration of this technology, this is the first time. I mean, people have used de-aging over the years. I mean, if you remember Rogue One, the Star Wars movie, at the end of that film, we got to see a de-aged Carrie Fisher and a de-aged Peter Cushing, de-aged a living Peter Cushing. Peter Cushing's been dead for years.
Mm-hmm.
But in that case, for example, the producers really had to negotiate with Peter Cushing's family to get these rights. You know, it brings up a whole— de-aging actors is one thing, but the next step is going to be bringing back actors who have already passed away. And that's going to be a whole new can of worms that Hollywood's going to have to deal
with. So this is, I guess, it sounds like this. All these different sort of philosophical questions are very compelling for someone in your situation who's trying to make sense of when it's purely a sentimental conceit or just a shtick, and when it actually kind of in some ways adds to the filmmaking and the mythology of these actors themselves.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And anyone who has to look at these films and judge sort of what they're doing with this technology, on the one level, you're looking at it in the context of the film. Does it work in the context of the film? How well have they used it? Like I said, I think, you know, even though the de-aging in The Irishman is imperfect, I think Martin Scorsese uses it very well in the film. Gemini Man is a little different, because this is a movie, you know, in which Will Smith plays a 40-something assassin who finds himself being pursued by a 23-year-old version of himself. And it's, you know, it's a science fiction action type film. And that's obviously a very different process, because in this case, you have an actor not sort of being the younger version of himself in flashbacks, but actually playing against a younger version of himself.
Same shots.
Same shots. And they used actually a very different technology to de-age Will Smith in this one. You know, in many of these cases, when you have to do a lot of digital work on an actor, they'll often have to wear these kind of like these helmets with like little cameras on them and, you know, funny suits and little dots on their faces or whatnot. And Will Smith did have to do some of that. In the case of The Irishman, Martin Scorsese said, there is no way you're putting those things on Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci and Al Pacino. So they actually created a technology that would allow the actors to just act like regular actors, and then they kind of did it all in post. But you have to shoot everything a specific way with special cameras. In the case of Gemini Man, they actually created, as I understand it, a whole library of expressions and things like that using footage of Will Smith as a younger actor. So Will Smith from Fresh Prince and all these other, you know, shows and films that he did. And they kind of created this library so that even though Will Smith was playing both parts, what's happening on his face is apparently all digitally created.
There's been a lot of, I guess, hand-wringing in Hollywood about how to actually get people back into the theater. Is any of this, you think, going to help?
Well, it does not appear to have helped with Gemini Man, which kind of flopped on its opening weekend, despite a lot of buzz about the technology and about Will Smith and Ang Lee and all that. So it really depends on the showmanship of the producers and the filmmakers. I don't know that audiences are eager to go and see this specific type of technology, in part because I think a lot of them are wondering why it's even necessary. I mean, if you think about Gemini Man, it's a movie about an assassin being chased by his younger self. Well, a few years ago, we had Looper, right, which is basically the same premise. And in that case, you know, Bruce Willis played the older guy and Joseph Gordon-Levitt played his younger version, and it worked fine. It's an imaginative leap that audiences are perfectly willing to make. Again, think of De Niro. One of his signature early roles was Godfather Part II, in which he was basically playing young Marlon Brando. That seemed to work out fine. I think he won an Oscar for it.
Yeah, he did fairly well for himself, didn't he? I mean, that's the thing. It's like with these two films, maybe we're making too much of this very small sample size. Can't help but think that this is a sentimental conceit that's not really about the art form, but it's about like these aging actors staying young.
You know, it's about these aging actors staying young. Like I said, there is a certain amount of artistic usefulness that you know, for example, Martin Scorsese has brought to The Irishman. But if you think about it, this technology costs a lot of money. The whole idea that they'll be able to do this to actors, I mean, putting a wig on and some young age makeup or simply casting a younger actor who is just as talented, that is probably cheaper than, you know, spending all this money digitally de-aging these actors and inventing new camera technologies and things like that. Obviously, Hollywood loves that sort of thing. You know, special effects movies love that sort of thing. And they'll use that technology for all sorts of things in the future. But in the end, is it even cost effective? I don't think so. I think Ang Lee himself said, listen, you know, if anyone who wants to do this, don't think of this as something that's going to save you money or make your life easier, because it's not. So, you know, it might wind up just being a fad in the end.
Bilge Beery is a film critic and editor for New York Magazine and Vulture. Bilge, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.